So I said turn to Hebrews 11. We're also going to be looking at Romans 4 quite a bit. And that's actually where the title of my little study here comes from, because we are going to be looking at the faith of Abraham. So this is a topic that I really like to talk about. It's something that, you ever read the testimony of Martin Luther, you know, and he was like a Catholic monk or something, and then just one day he's reading the scripture and he just understands, like, hey, there's some big thing that I never got before, and it flipped a switch in him and just changed his life, you know? And this is the same kind of thing that it did for me. There's something that the Bible talks about called the righteousness of faith.
Yes.
Or the righteousness which is by faith. And for so long, I didn't understand that. And when I finally got the understanding, it's like, it's one of my favorite things to talk about.
Amen.
So that's where I would have normally gone to do, like, some kind of really structured teaching to understanding that. But I don't know. I just, for some reason, just kind of went toward Abraham. So I guess we can see it in action.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, it's... We don't just want to read about these things and say, okay, well, in theory, it's like this.
Yeah.
Remember what Jesus said, happy are ye if you do these things, you know. Amen. There's a great blessing in actually doing the work, working out your salvation, having faith that results in something.
Amen.
So Hebrews chapter 11, like I said, we're talking about the faith of Abraham. And I think before we actually start, like, taking things apart, we're just going to do some reading. So Hebrews chapter 11, this is the faith chapter, the roll call of faith, or hall of faith, as people say. Gives a lot of examples of people's faith, and it doesn't just say they had faith. Every time it brings someone up, it says, by faith, they did something.
Mm-hmm.
By faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. So we get to Abraham in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So, this is the faith of Abraham. It's actually a large topic. We could spend all day on this. We could spend all week on this. And I wasn't even really planning on going to the book of Genesis, where it really talks about Abraham, and gives his story in detail. So I'm just kind of assuming, hoping that you're all familiar with Abraham. You've read about Abraham in Genesis. So when we talk about these things, you know what it's talking about. Okay. So we read this. We're also going to read Romans chapter 4. We'll be going back and forth between these two chapters and some other ones as well. If you're a computer person or you know about computers, you might have this stuff on your hard drive. What we're doing right now is we're loading it into memory. If that doesn't make sense to you, don't worry about it. Just recalling it. Amen. It's Romans chapter 4. I'm just going to read the whole chapter here. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness, then, upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision, or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Amen.
Right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these scriptures that that just give us light and give us instruction, give us an example and a pattern, Lord, that these are things that you work oftentimes with man, that it's not something that, it's not a blind faith, Lord. It's a faith that many have walked in, Lord, and we have them for an example. But still, Lord, we have to read these things and we have to believe them. And I just pray, Lord, that through this example of Abraham and through that faith that was passed down to us, Lord God, just pray that through that we might know you more fully, Lord, and what our obligation is to you and what the blessedness of fellowship with you is and how you would have us to walk, Lord. So we pray, please, help us to get from these passages what you would have us to get. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right.
Just go without me. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, so like I said, we're talking about the faith of Abraham. I got that phrase from verse 16 in this chapter, where it says, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Mm. So I was thinking, like, the faith that we have, according to this verse, it is the faith of Abraham. That's what he says. Mm. It's literally the same faith. Like, I know the scripture talks about the faith once delivered to the saints, and I was almost thinking of, like, the gospel of Christ as being, like, a different faith than the faith that they had. But then I was reading this, and I'm like, no, I don't think it is. I think it's the same faith.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it says at the end of this, in this chapter, verse 24, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Guess what? Abraham believed on him also. So it's the same faith. So just some things that I wanted to talk about in this faith. You think about Abraham, and this chapter, it mentions circumcision, okay? And it talks about how Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness, but this is not about works.
Mm.
And the example that he gives to prove this is he brings up circumcision. Okay? So, when it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, that's coming from Genesis chapter 15. So we'll go there. So like we just read about, you know, God gave Abraham a commandment, and he said, get out of your father's land, go to a land that I will show you. And Abram, well, his name at that time was Abram, but he was faithful. He went. He obeyed, the scripture says. And everything that the Lord told him, he took hold of, and he went with it. And at this point, he's left his father's land. He went into another place, and then he left that place. And in chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Why does Abram say this? Because God made these promises to Abraham that, well, just go back to Genesis 12 and read them. I probably should have just started with this. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And, you know, he talks about, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. But Abram's like, I don't even have any kids. How are you going to do this? And so that's what he's wondering about in chapter 15 there. So he's like, I don't even have an heir. Like one of my servants' kids, you know, he's going to end up being my heir because I don't have a boy. So in 15 verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. At this point, Abram's getting kind of old, you know?
Yeah.
And he's starting to wonder, how's this going to happen? So, but he says, so shall thy seed be. It's like, okay, this is a really hard thing. Maybe it's not impossible. I don't know. Further down, we'll go a few chapters over, and we'll see, okay, now it's starting to look impossible.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's just starting to look kind of hard. Mm-hmm. Okay? But he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. It's looking kind of unlikely. But verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Yeah.
So that's what it's referring to in Romans chapter 4. That he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So one of the things that I was thinking of, why is it counted to him for righteousness? This faith. And let's go to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. And in verse 7.
No, right before.
So Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 7 says, "Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham." So it says he broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees. That was like in the ancient world, that was like the birthplace of false religion. That was where all the false gods came out of. It all started in that area, and that's where that was Abram's father's country. That was his homeland. I think in Joshua, I don't know if I wrote that down. I didn't. But it talks about you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
It talks about his father.
Yeah, what your father served in the other side of the flood.
Yeah.
Joshua, I think it's 24.
Okay, yeah, that's not the verse I was thinking of.
That's not.
But it's somewhere he talks about them, their father Abraham, like his father Terah was on the other side of the flood, and they worshipped other gods there.
It's verse 2.
It's verse 2.
Yeah.
Let's go there.
Daniel.
No, Joshua's back early days.
Joshua.
It's right after the books of Moses. So before Samuel. Yeah, it's right after down.
Verse 15 is not that one.
No.
Can you just read that, brother? Sure. To somebody, because my pages are stuck together.
Joshua 24:2. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac."
Amen, yeah. So, I mean, you can see why God is calling him out of that place. Okay, just like we were just looking at in Psalm 45, you know, he says, "Get out of your father's house.
Yes.
Depart from that stuff. You're going to be sanctified to me," and as he's calling Abraham out of that situation. But then he gives him a path, and it's something that he doesn't see. Like the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, yes, not by sight.
Yes.
And he's putting Abraham on this walk. And one thing that I wanted to point out about this faith is that sometimes we think of, it's been said that faith is a leap. Faith is not a leap. It's a walk. It's one step after another after another. Okay? We were in John 8 recently. I was talking about something in there. And yeah, we can go there. Turn to John 8.
It's never a bad idea to turn to John 8.
Yeah. No. It's also got a lot about Abraham in here, but okay, so verse 29. Jesus is just talking about how he always does those things to please the Father. Okay? And that's a good word. Okay? And there's a lot of Jews that, you know what, they had some inclination toward God. And when Jesus said, man, I do always those things to please my Father, they were like, oh, we believe in God too, and that's great, you know? And we're on board. Just like, you know, you go into Africa and you preach about Jesus and you get probably a lot of people who say, oh yeah, Jesus, yeah, okay, yeah, we're with you so far. Okay? So, yeah, verse 30, it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And that's good. That's a good start. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And suddenly they start objecting to what he's saying. Okay? And it doesn't say it was someone else. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, and they answered him. And now he's going back and forth with these people who supposedly believed in him.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay? And you're going to find out by the end of the chapter, they're ready to kill him.
Yeah.
Okay? So here's the thing about faith. It's not a leap. You don't just take a flying leap or a blind leap and suddenly you're there.
Mm-hmm.
It's one step after another. Now, these guys, they heard the word that he was speaking, and they took that first step. Mm-hmm. But then he gave them another step. He gave them another word to continue in. Okay? Yeah. It's not just like to, you know, the journey of faith. It really is a journey.
Yeah.
It's God gives you a word and he wants you to believe it and take that first step. And when you do that, he'll give you another word.
Yeah.
And he wants you to take that step too.
Amen.
And then he'll give you another word. He wants you to take that step too. And that's what he did in the life of Abraham.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Let's go back to Hebrews 11, and we can kind of see this. Again, the details of this are kind of split up: some here, some here, some here. So it's going to be hard to flip around, but that's why I wanted to read through all this beforehand, just to get it in here. So Hebrews 11, verse 8, it said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Okay, I'm going to turn back to Genesis 12 and just read something there again. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Okay, so what's my point? God said first, get out of this land. But he didn't show him where to go yet. He said, I will show you.
That's right, man.
Okay? So what does Abraham do? At that point, when God tells him to get out of your father's land, get out of your father's house there, out of your father's country, at that time he's in Ur of the Chaldees. Okay? The first thing Abraham does is he obeys. He gets out of there. He doesn't know where he's going yet, so he just goes to some other place. He goes to a place called Haran.
That's right.
And that's where Genesis 12 really starts with. Sorry, I probably just flipped this away from there. come on.
You want to use this one?
It's fine. Yeah, thanks. So
Next time, bring your Bible, bro.
Next time, bring your Bible. So notice what it says at the beginning of chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram."
Yeah.
He's not actually saying this now at the time where we are in chapter 12.
Yeah, that's right.
He's saying he had said that to him in the past.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. By now he's out of there.
That's right.
And he was in a place called Haran. Mm. And that actually happened in chapter 11, verse 31, that they came to Haran and dwelt there. And then in verse 4, he ended up leaving there also. Because after Abram took that first step and he got out of that land, God said, okay, he's faithful. Mm. Here's the next step.
That's right.
And he saw Abram did that step as well.
Mm.
And he just kept continuing to take step after step after step and just keep walking. He didn't do like those Jews in John 8. He didn't take one step and then quit.
Mm.
Now, the steps that he takes you on, they get progressively harder and harder.
Amen.
Okay? By the time you get to the end of Abraham's life, he's taking some pretty hard steps, but you know what? He giveth more grace.
That's right.
Every step you take that's harder, he gives you more grace for it.
That's right.
I think I was going to have you turn to Nehemiah 9, right? And I think I forgot when we got there. Let's go back to Nehemiah 9. I can't even remember if we read it or not. It's Brother Ray for
you. No, we did. We read it.
Did we read it?
Yeah, let's read it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, amen. Okay, so there's some things that I just wanted to point out about this passage, too. So Nehemiah 9, verses 7 to... Yeah, 7 and 8. Thou art the Lord, the God... Yeah, I did read this. Who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham and foundest his heart faithful before thee. And so that's the thing. When you get to Genesis 15, and it says... And Abram believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That's faith. And God looked at that and says, I found his heart faithful. Okay? That word faithful, like today, it's the meaning is kind of changed by now, and we think of faithful as being like someone who won't cheat.
Mm.
Or faithful maybe as someone you can have confidence in them because they're faithful. But really, the original meaning of the word faithful is to be full of faith.
Yeah.
And you see that God found Abram's heart faithful, and he made a covenant with him. And at the end of the verse, it says that God has performed his works. Thou hast performed thy works, for thou art righteous. Okay? And then we see this thing in Romans 4 that Abraham's faith is counted to him for righteousness. So we want to talk about where that comes from. Well, we saw in that verse in Nehemiah that God did these things because he's righteous. But I want to tell you that God is faithful. God is faithful. God is himself is full of faith.
Right.
So when you see in Ephesians chapter 2, I'm not going to go there, but it talks about, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's talking about the faith. The faith is not of yourselves. The faith itself is the gift of God.
Right.
Faith is something that God has that he gives to us. That's why, again, I mentioned before the verse that talks about the faith once delivered to the saints.
That's right.
God had it. He passed it down to us. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
Some great verses that talk about this, and you can see the faith of God in them. There's one in Isaiah 46 that I really like, and another one in the same chapter, Romans 4. So Isaiah 46, and in verse 9, he says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." Mm-hmm. And this is awesome. Just so many places in Isaiah where God just like. You know how Jesus said he didn't come in his own name, and he came and he was always subject to the Father, and he made himself of no reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he came down, he humbled himself, he lived as a man. If he brought his reputation, this is what it would sound like. This is God going on about his reputation, okay? "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." Verse 10, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." Mm. Amen?
Amen.
So, look, history, I mean, you're reading the history books about things that are past, okay? You read in the Bible about things that are past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because all these things are done yet. Even says here, these things aren't even done yet, but yet God is writing about them. he's talking about them. How does he do that?
By faith.
By faith. By faith. You know, like, here's another one I just remembered now. Well, we were in Hebrews 11 anyway before, but you turn to Hebrews 11. I did warn you we were going to be flipping around. probably should have started with this. Hebrews 11, right at the beginning of the chapter. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That verse is deep, and we're not going to get into it right now. That would be a whole other series of studies on itself. But verse 3, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." In the beginning, there was nothing else, just God. And God said, and it happened. Whatever he said just happened. Man, now, when Jesus came and he said, "Look, if you got this much faith, you could say to this sycamore tree, you know, be plucked up, be cast into the sea, it'll obey you. Or you can say this to the mountain, you know, it'll move," and all this kind of stuff. Jesus was speaking from experience. Okay, he knew how to speak things, and then they would just happen. Yeah, that's God's faith, man. He is full of faith. That last one in Romans 4. It's verse 17. So it says, just the second part of the verse, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. It's like, yeah, I mean, that kind of faith that God has is just incomprehensible to us, you know. And what Jesus, he was trying to convey that to us because he wants us to have faith like that so that we can really be his children. But, yeah. So, let's see. Plan all this out as well as I probably should have, but let's also look at Psalm 101. Again, I was talking about faith as being a walk.
Amen.
And Psalm 101, verse 6, kind of shows that. It's a neat little verse. And God says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. So the faithful of the land may dwell with him. And walking in a perfect way, they will serve him. So that walk, the walk in a perfect way, is connected with that faithfulness. Mm. It's a walk of faith. And it actually says back in Romans 4, where is it? Verse 12, talking about Abraham's faith. Verse 12, it says, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So again, it's a step-by-step thing.
Just bringing this stuff forward, just thinking about... Mm-hmm. That sequence of God and Abraham. So, like, first he calls him out, takes a step. Okay, but now I gotta leave this. And then he gets there, and then he begins to confirm some things. Look around, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, that first call to come out of her, my people. Should be not partaker of her sins, and receive not of her plagues. You know, come out from among them, be separate, say, Lord, touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you. I'll receive you. Right? So a lot of people, they don't even take that step. So they want to create a Christianity in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We got Babylon and we got Christ. But it doesn't work. He's come out. Amen. So the first step is come out. Repent. Get out. Okay? And then he receives Abraham to a point, and he visits him here and shows him things here, and he's strong in his behalf there, defends him, and even makes a covenant with him. But then there comes a point where he says, I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So there's something different there at that point. Because I remember Jesus said, if any man will serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant be also. Him will my Father honor or serve. So there's something about, like, so maybe Abraham was like still like a little child in the faith. He just learned how to walk, you know? Mm-hmm. Just learned how to walk. So he's coming out, and God's merciful, and he's with him, and he's protecting him. Mm-hmm. But then there comes a point where he must see Abraham is now at a fuller age, and now he goes, walk before me. Like, literally, like, so it's almost like something where it's, not that it wasn't public before, but it's becoming more, I think, like fully consecrated or something. Mm-hmm. Like God, he had to call him out, and he's working things in him to build his faith, to build his trust. Yeah. But now there comes a point where now you can walk before me. Like my eyes are going to be on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not just I visit you once in a while, not I just come speak to you, but like now you're going to be before me. You know, because again, I think that scripture in Psalm 101, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land.
Amen.
That they may dwell with me.
Right.
But again, that's a colon, so he's expounding on what those people are like. He that walketh in a perfect way,
that's right.
He shall serve me.
Amen.
So actually to get to this, not to where he's just calling you out. Again, God first serves us. God first calls us, but now he's prepared us to the point where now we can give back and serve him, and we can walk before. But the only way I can do it is in a perfect way. And that's going to require faith.
Amen.
And not just little bits of faith, but stony heart. Like, it's going to be faithful. Literally, the heart's got to be full of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just kind of seeing these things.
That's good, brother. That's right on. And so I was saying before that in Romans 4, Paul is making the point about this faith that he had was counted to him for righteousness, and he's making the point that this is without works. Okay? Now, faith is not entirely without works. Paul's just trying to make a specific point here. If we go to James chapter 2, which I didn't even plan on going here, but actually, you know what? This might be a good time for the whiteboard.
No, please.
Turn the pulp. Let me move this stuff. Genesis 15. Okay, we'll start with Genesis 15. This is where it says Abram believes God. And this is where his faith, it says, is counted for righteousness. Okay? So
just an interesting point. So everything up to that point, God's preparing Abram's heart, so to speak, for this promise to come forth and to really believe it all.
Yes. Okay. I didn't really plan all this out before. Okay, and then we have Genesis, I'll put it over here, 17. And this is where the circumcision is. So I'll put should just have Adam write this stuff because I know he can write on a whiteboard good. So this is where God gives him circumcision as a seal of the righteousness which he had before. Which again, he's referring back to Genesis 15. But this is where God says, walk before me and be thou perfect. Right? Okay. And then later on, we have Genesis 22. And this is where
Abraham offers Isaac. Okay. So, what Paul's trying to bring out in Romans chapter 4, okay, is the circumcision. He's bringing that out as a work that Abraham does. So I'm just going to say work or works. Okay? And the point that Paul is bringing out is that the faith that Abram had was counted for righteousness before this happened. That was back in Genesis 15.
That's right.
Okay? So what he's saying is that that faith was counted for righteousness without works. Not that works never happened.
That's right.
But it happened before the works. Okay? Now what James is bringing out in James chapter 2, I guess we might as well go there and read it. James chapter 2.
James chapter 2.
We just, let me start in verse 17. He says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Okay? So when you start reading this, the first thing you might say is, if you read Romans, you say, well, this seems like it's kind of contradicting Romans, because Paul said faith without works, and now James is saying, no, faith with works. Seems like a contradiction, right? That's because what Paul is looking at is he's looking at this and he's focusing on this part. Okay?
Right, Paul, I should have written that letter.
So Paul is focusing on this part. James is looking at really the whole picture here. Okay? And when James is talking about works now, he's not even talking about this.
That's right.
He's talking about this. He's talking about the end of that faith. He's talking about the perfection of it. Okay? So if we keep reading down, verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, the faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Genesis 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So now James quotes the exact same scripture in Genesis 15, and says that imputing of righteousness, okay,
I didn't really leave room for it, but I'll just write it in here. Righteousness.
Okay, so that, he says it's fulfilled here, which tells me something, okay? This is not a one-time thing for Abraham. This is just because it's recorded in Genesis 15 doesn't mean that's the only time Abraham ever had faith.
Yeah.
Or that's the only time God ever counted his faith as righteousness. Okay? The reason why God had it recorded in Genesis 15 was so that Paul could make this picture and just show that, hey, even before circumcision, even outside of circumcision, God counts faith for righteousness. But that's not the whole thing.
No.
That faith continues to grow step by step by step as we walk in it, to the point that we get here, and that faith is now perfect. It's like he got to that last step.
Yes.
I think I'm done with this board.
Well, write that.
What's up?
Faith perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Good. If I go to righteousness fulfilled, you know, like that's important.
Amen. Yes.
This is an important concept I think we need to really understand. And I don't know if I've ever heard anybody teach this before. Exactly. I've heard about your faith needs to be purified, you know, 1 Peter, which is along the same concept, but the concept that faith needs to be perfected.
Yes.
Remember Jesus says, come buy of me gold that's tried in the fire. So it's like, he deposited the gold there in Genesis 15. So first, here's the thing. God doesn't give his pearls to swine. He doesn't, you know, give that which is holy to the dogs. So first, come off from the dogs. Get away from the swine. So he calls them apart to get them to a point where, okay, now he can actually receive the gold. The gold is God's word. It's his promise. So in Genesis 15, he speaks. This is what I'm going to do. Come, look. So when he speaks, again, that was the gospel for Abraham, so to speak. That was his gospel. And Abraham's at that point now. He's not in the hustle-bustle, wild city filled with idolatry where, you know, God spoke. See, he's out under the stars. He's like away from everything. And now, bam, gold is deposited. He receives that word. He believes God. He believes that promise. And God sees his righteousness. But it hasn't been worked out. That faith put gold in there. But now that gold's got to be tried by fire. It's got to be tested. It's got to be refined. Remember, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, thou shalt purify them. What does he say? Seven times, right? Seven times. So Naaman was baptized seven times, and then he's finally clean. So there's something about this, you know, he says, add to your faith. Those seven things he lists. Unless you get charity. Charity is the bond of perfectness. So the point is, then in this walk, as he continues, the goal's being refined. So the word of the Lord, which actually is what provides the faith for us, that is purified within us. As we're purified, it's purified in us. Until eventually, when God sees. And again, this was a severe act of obedience, severe act of trust, fearing the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without the fear of the Lord, you ain't going to do this.
Yeah.
You got to fear the Lord more than... But then that bam, faith was made perfect.
Amen.
It was like that faith that finally, it was the final, like, sort of
trial.
And
it was like the completion of it, the perfection of it. Yeah, so in the scriptures, you're going to see righteousness talked about in different ways, okay? And like we saw, that God counted Abram's faith for righteousness. So that faith, okay, like we were saying, God's the one with the faith, okay? And God, by his word, he sends his word into a person's heart. Okay? And that word has to be received and kept. And what that does, when that faith enters into someone's heart, it changes that heart into a heart of righteousness. Okay? Just like God is faithful and he's righteous, like it says in Nehemiah, it's like he exchanged, not exchanged, but When he imparts that faith to someone else, along with it comes his righteousness, which is by faith.
That's right.
So now this heart becomes a heart of righteousness. And that, I would say, is what we would call, it's in you. It's like the the quality of righteousness. Okay? I know the Bible doesn't use the word quality, but... So, when that happens here, this is what this is talking about. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Okay? He's saying, okay, because Abraham has that faith, he has the quality of righteousness. He's what the Bible would call a righteous man.
Yes.
Okay? But the Bible also talks about doing righteousness.
Yes.
Or working righteousness.
Sure.
Okay?
He's going to make those work righteousness.
That's right. And that's one of the things that it says in Hebrews 11. We talked about all the things that people did by faith. They did by faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. One of the things that it says at the end of the chapter in verse 33, he just goes through all these different people and he says, man, I could add even more to this list. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. Okay? That's when faith is made perfect, like James is talking about. It's not just when you start to believe and you start to get that quality in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's when this thing comes full circle and now you're not just a vessel of righteousness, but you're a fountain of righteousness.
Is that
good or what? just made me think of a verse. Let me get this.
Who would have thought a bunch of filthy guys like that?
Man.
The fountains of righteousness.
Amen, amen.
Oh, the grace of God.
Or is that Isaiah 61 or I'm thinking of? Talks about can't even think of what the words are. Yeah. Isaiah 61. Then verse 3. Amen. 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 There's another one that talks about, it's probably in Proverbs, about a fountain. I can't think of what it is, but...
The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. Then there's something about in the way of righteousness is life.
Right. Yeah, I can't think. Maybe I'm just making something up here. I don't know. But, so this verse in Isaiah 61, verse 3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, again, the beauty of holiness, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Again, it's God planting faith in the heart.
Yes.
To create that tree of righteousness that's able of bringing forth the fruits of righteousness.
That's right.
Yeah. So... Start heading back toward Romans 4. Unless you had something else you wanted to bring up, brother.
Where is he talking about the fruits of righteousness?
I think it's Romans 6. The end of Romans 6.
He talks about your fruit unto holiness. There's another fruit of righteousness, you're right.
Is it James, the fruit of righteousness, son of peace?
Yes. Yeah. But actually, yeah, Romans 6 is all about that too. Just about how, you know, that's really our purpose is to yield ourselves servants to God is to also be obedient to righteousness and to start bringing forth those fruits of righteousness and holiness. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life.
So it sounds almost like the fruit of righteousness is holiness.
Yeah.
So we depart from sin, and we start again. That can only happen by call, and then that obedience to the faith. We receive that faith, and now we're serving righteousness. We're not serving sin. Mm-hmm. It's like walk before me, be perfect. So he's walking it out. He's walking out the righteousness. Because that, how can you? When you walk something out, it's not first within. It's first glance it within, but now I'm walking without. And what's the fruit of that? The fruit on the holiness. The fruit is on the holiness. So, I mean, is that not like Joe Abraham offers up the son of Isaac?
No. Yeah.
Fruit on the holiness.
That's a great verse that you just mentioned when he offered up Isaac in Hebrews 11. Because it really brings to attention what an offering is. Because Abraham, you know, he was given the commandment by God, take him up to the mountain and kill him. You know, offer him up for a burnt offering to me, you know. And he takes him, and he actually doesn't end up killing him. Okay? But the thing is, he offered him because that offering came from his heart. Abraham's intention was, okay, God, you know, obviously I don't want to kill my son, but I want to obey you, and I'm giving him up to you. And even though he didn't kill him, he still offered him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But think about this type. Wow, this is cool. Never thought about this. Didn't it take them like 3 days to get there? Say that?
Doesn't it?
Isn't it on the third day? They see the place? Far off? I don't know. It's not just top of my head. Yeah. So Genesis 22, right?
Oh, yeah.
So after he tells them, Abraham rises up early in the morning, sails fast, boom, 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 verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off.
Mm-hmm.
And then they climbed the mountain. Third day. So here's the point. This is cool. So yes.
Yeah, I see it. Amen.
Abraham never killed Isaac in the physical.
Right.
But spiritually, he was dead for 3 days.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Because he counted him to be dead already.
No.
No. Amen. Amen. And that's exactly what it says in Hebrews 11. When you come down to the end, you get down to verse 17, okay?
Yes.
He says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So again, just bringing you back to what happened here, okay? Abraham received those promises from God that were going to be fulfilled in his seed. And he was told, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So when God says, go up to the mountain and kill him, Abraham doesn't start, you know, he doesn't just,
strong in faith, Abraham says, well, God made me these promises, and God is righteous. He's not going to break those promises.
Amen.
And God is able to perform what he promised. So he wants me to go up to the mountain and kill my son? He's going to rise him from the dead. He was fully persuaded of that. And so he goes, and what does it say in the next verse? Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead to keep his promise. And then it says, from whence also he received him in a figure. Okay? What is it talking about? So it says to raise him up even from the dead. From whence, he's talking about from the dead.
Yes.
He also received him. Figuratively speaking.
That's right.
Okay? He said, because in Abraham's mind, he was already dead. He was already
dead.
Day,
he rose up.
And then he received him back from the dead. Yes. So, you know, I was saying before, I used to think of, okay, well, you know, the faith once delivered to the saints, the Christian faith, you know, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. But before that, all they had was like this general faith. But look, it says, we're of the faith of Abraham. I mean, like, what didn't Abraham know? He didn't know the name of Jesus. Okay? He will. He will. He probably does already. But, I mean, everything that we're supposed to believe, man, for this gospel to have its effect. Abraham believed in the God that would raise him from the dead, that he was fully able to. And that's like the catalyst of the gospel, is that God is able to raise him up from the dead. And as a matter of fact, go to Galatians chapter 3. And we'll probably just wrap it up here. Galatians chapter 3. Yeah. It's another chapter that we could just dig into. But let's go to verse 5. He says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He says, no, this is the same pattern from the beginning. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now you know what Jesus was talking about in John 8. It says you don't have that faith. Maybe you took the first step, but you didn't continue.
Yeah.
Remember? And the scripture, verse 8, in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. I used to see that phrase, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. And I used to wonder, is that talking about the gospels here and before the gospel he preached unto Abraham?
I don't know.
But that's not it. He preached before. He preached long ago. He preached the gospel to Abraham.
Yeah.
He received it in a figure, but he received it. It was the same faith. In thee shall all nations be blessed. Man, that's why we say there's only one gospel. There's really just one gospel.
Yeah.
And it's more fully revealed now.
Yeah.
But it's the same gospel. And God started it with Abraham there.
Yeah.
And he preached it and he said, in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. we're receiving that blessing right now.
You're right.
It's God's faithfulness. He is still making good on that promise.
You're right.
Amen. It's that promise that he's talking about, that blessing. It even says, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Who would have known that what God is talking about when he says all nations of the earth would be blessed through thy seed, the blessing that he was talking about, that promise was the Holy Ghost.
That's right. That's right.
And the seed was Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my mind is hard to blow.
Amen. So,
just two things I'm thinking about. So the first thing is just, I just love how a man with a heart of faith, when presented with something that to the natural man would just be absolute horror and mystery, you know, go offer up your son.
Yeah.
Turn off a man with a heart of faith.
He might not, again, our heart is not God, and God is not our heart. The new man inside of us is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the new man. So the Holy Spirit has to teach the new man, and the new man's got to grow and got to learn and understand. And so if you're at a certain point, you're not beyond that point. So sometimes when God's leading us forward in a new territory, there's things we don't understand how it's going to work. We don't see how it's going to work.
Yes.
But if you have the heart of faith, even something that appears like it's like a terrible thing, and you know if it comes from God, you know somehow God's going to pull this thing out.
Yeah.
So Abraham's not, you know, tossing and turning in his bed, rolling around, misery, oh, God, everything's fault. No, those are people with no faith. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness, who just no matter how much God did for him, it was still just misery and horror, just not good enough. And that's someone with no faith. He said they're children who has no faith.
Yeah.
But a man with a heart of faith, when even the most horrible, awful thing is put in his face.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's not right in what he believes God will do. Because it's not actually what God did. Not a figure. But still, with a heart of faith, he's going, God's going to have to raise him from the dead.
Yes.
And I guess in a sense, that heart of faith is right. Because Isaac one day will be resurrected from the dead in the resurrection of life. So even in that sense, sometimes the things that's another thing I've noticed. When you've got a heart of faith, sometimes the things you believe they're true and they will happen one day. Might not be till the resurrection. Might not be till the millennium. Till those things are laid hold on in the earthly in this sense. And so it's still true, but it might not happen. You know, I'm just saying. Sometimes what you think is not going to happen that way, but still, it's just neat how that with a heart of faith, he's going to resurrection. He's going to resurrection. He's going. He's going to have to raise him. Like even because again. What's the greatest enemy man faces? It's not Satan.
It's death.
It's death. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. So again, what's the greatest fear? What's the greatest horror? Is death. And again, when we're talking about death, we're talking about something that's dear to you, something that you love, or even to your own flesh. You know what I'm saying? And so the point is like, when the greatest enemy put, and even when God himself is going here, the heart of faith goes to resurrection. he's gonna raise him from, because isn't that not like that's like the core of our gospel? Like, I just feel bad for dispensationalists.
Yeah.
Just like I, you guys don't understand. So praise the Lord. But I'm just think about how much of the word of truth is just stripped from me. How much of it is just stripped from you when you cut this Bible and all these different. Yes, there are true divisions.
Mm-hmm.
There are true differences of administrations. That's true. But when you're not seeing the wholeness of this faith of God, which which one both received imputes righteousness, but then also works forth righteousness unto perfection, unto holiness. When you don't see that, and you think, well, that was, you know, now we just, you know, the riches. Come on, do you think Paul, imagine if Paul was a modern dispensation, would he be writing these, would he be pulling these things out and just marveling at the grace of God and like rejoice, just having to stop in the middle of his writing? Oh, the riches, the uncertainty. I think that was a key point for me, was faith was perfected.
Yeah.
Faith was made perfect when he offered. So just that understanding that. But even think about this, Christ himself as a man. So this, it just seems, this is just how God made things good on the earth. He didn't make things perfect.
Yes.
But as far as I can tell, in terms of the terminology, the things he made were good.
Mm-hmm.
They were not perfect. They had to become perfect. The things of the heavenly realm that appears are perfect. But the things of the earthly realm are good. And so even his son, becoming a man, he's not perfect. He's good.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you call me good. There's only one good. That truth, that he was the one good. But he too, as a human being, had to be made perfect. He was made perfect through sufferings, not when he offered up his son, but he was the son when he offered up himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he was made perfect mm-hmm. through those sufferings. And so again, it's just, so if Christ is our faith, it's the faith of Christ. Christ is the faith. Well, yeah. He himself, who was always pure,
mm-hmm.
was always, the Son of God. He was,
mm-hmm.
harmless, undefiled. But he was good, but he had to be made perfect. So how much more we receive the faith into our heart, but again, we're not perfect.
Yeah.
So it comes down good, it's pure, it's undefiled, but the faith within us, along with us, is being purified until it's perfect. Until we and the faith within us are made perfect to be offered up. And now, again, you just understand why Paul's going up. Time of my departure, I'm ready. I'm now ready to be offered up. Time of my departure at hand.